Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And this week we're going to talk about the OHSAA Softball Points of Emphasis for 2025. This isn't a repeat. We previously talked about the NFHS Points of Emphasis. And this time, since we're in Ohio, we're going to go over our local association's points of emphasis and things that they would like us to pay attention to, which, assuming they all go along with the rule book, would be good for you guys to keep in mind as well.
Sure. Absolutely. So the first one that they have listed here in the white book is the pitching rules enforcement. The OHSAA continues to have expectations concerning the enforcement of all rules, including the pitching rules. These expectations have not changed and are straightforward and reasonable, but still require our attention. So they want you to do some stuff.
Yeah. Number one, how about you just study the pitching rules?
That's a good idea.
They weren't so sassy. I added the sassiness just, you know, to not put the author. So study the pitching rules. Learn to recognize infractions. Use proper positioning and mechanics, which are always going to help you see those infractions. When an illegal pitch is there, call it. Never guess at that illegal pitch. Make these calls early in the game and let the pitcher adjust to your proper enforcement of the rule. This is similar, I think, NFHS even put these in here.
Yep.
It's important enough that they bring them together as well. But it's a good reminder. I think maybe we'll start every episode with, hey, if you see an illegal pitch, call it and make it early in the game so you're not doing it the seventh inning.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine that was the first time.
State tournament or something.
Yeah, right? We talked last episode, David told a story about someone getting out for a timing enforcement, bottom of the seventh, costing the game. Imagine that there had been timing enforcements all game, but no one had called one.
Oh,
and that was the first time?
That's the
right.
first time.
Yeah, you don't want that. And you don't want that with the pitching infraction either.
Are you late for dinner or what's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. So there's actually a very important and helpful editorial change to Rule 2-47 this year. The definition of a replant has been further clarified. So the rulebook language with added words, both in bold and italics, a replant of the pivot foot occurs when the pitcher pushes off the playing surface from anywhere other than the pitcher's plate. Here's the new part. Resulting in the non-pivot foot becoming closer to home plate. So this is really cool. If you think about this for a second, let's get in our brains, and we're going to go with a right-handed pitcher. So I've got my non-pivot foot is my stride foot. So
your
it's my
left foot.
Foot.
In this case.
Yep. And so when I take that pitch over my head and I push off and I stride out with my left leg. My left leg is in the air. My right leg is in the air. My right leg comes down. And if my left leg, my stride leg, also comes down and I let go of the ball, that left leg is no closer to the plate. However, if my right leg comes down and my left leg goes forward again, mm-hmm. right? Instead of straight down, it goes forward and closer to the plate. I have obviously pushed again.
Yeah.
And now I've pushed off from someplace closer to the plate than the pitcher's plate, and that's an illegal pitch.
Yep.
So this additional phrase is designed to more clearly explain exactly what a replant is and better align this definition with the description of the pitch given in Rule 612C. Often the pitcher has one or both feet landing, either from a leap or a drag, on the playing surface at about the same time as the pitch is delivered. At times, her momentum may cause her pivot foot to continue moving forward. This momentum alone is not a replant and not a violation of the pitching rule. A replant occurs only when she pushes off from this spot in front of the pitcher's plate.
And you talked about that a little bit with Casey, that your daughter, when she pitched, that might happen just from her momentum of landing. And if she's a little forward with her weight, she might hop forward or slide forward and move forward yep. in some way upon landing. Maybe before or after as you said at the time, I think on the episode, it was like, it's close.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, honestly, the honest thing is replanting is not that common, right? Sure. It's not a thing. And I think it's almost like boogeyman or whatever. People are looking for them everywhere. And it's like, is this a replant? Is this a replant? If you see it, it's almost going to be kind of obvious. Because imagine, in this case, a right-handed pitcher who's driving forward with their right leg. You know, the pivot foot is their right leg. What they'll do is they'll basically, you're keeping that left foot in the air. You're hopping with your right foot. Just imagine you're on one foot standing there like Danielson about to do a crane kick or something, right? And you hop sideways and you land with that right foot again and now drive. That's what it is. And I mean, that's the right. foot can be out and it cannot be so obvious because obviously no one's going to cheat super, obviously, you would hope. But then like, you hope they wouldn't cheat at all. I mean, just say. Right. But I mean, I'm trying to be like, hey, if you're going to cheat, try at least.
You're not even trying if you're not cheating.
Yeah. So like, it's literally like a one-legged hop and then start the pitching motion again, you know, or like start the leg portion again, which is not very common. And it's a little difficult to pull off, honestly. So any videos you see where you look, it's like they'll show you what's legal over and over and over again. You never see a replant. It's because it's honestly kind of hard to do and kind of hard to get on film without it looking that super obvious. And,
right.
But honestly, that's what you're going to see.
That's what you're after.
You're going to see almost that level of obvious where it's like it's a hop and a push, you know, without that other foot doing anything. And it's almost impossible to do it where once the left foot goes down and touches the ground, you almost can't replant because like you'd have to pick that foot up again. And I don't even know how you'd humanly
land. Why is the ball still here?
And then, get up and hop again. Yeah. So it is going to be like a double right foot twice before the left foot's down is what it's mostly going to look too. Like.
It's going to look that way. Yeah, for sure.
And so it's not super common. And it's something we're super, super worried about. And maybe it's become more worrisome because of the leap being allowed, because when you always had to drag your toe, it becomes a little more difficult even again, because the foot's down and how are you going to do that? The leap really helps that replant become successful and to become a dangerous weapon, you might even say, if you're allowed to cheat that way. I see it a lot actually is like men's fast pitch.
Yeah.
When they always could leap, that was when the dangers, because those guys leap and they do land right footed again. And then if they might drive off. And I've seen that. That's actually where I'm getting my mental image of explaining this. The pogo sticky nature of that is I can picture a lot of men, fast pitch players doing that.
Yeah. And they're throwing the ball like 25 feet from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially, and so that's coming.
80, right. And that's the real danger. So if you want to see it sometimes, maybe I'm sure there's probably some good videos of some men freaking cheating.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, there's one more thing about pitching that they put in the white book here. And it's the requirement for the pitcher to take a position in contact with the pitcher's plate and then simulate taking a signal from the catcher prior to bringing the hands together. So they have to get on the plate, hands apart, and pause and simulate taking a sign. So what does simulate taking a sign mean? It really means pause.
Right.
You don't have to go, oh, catcher, where's my sign? Oh, I got it, and then whatever. But it's like, you got to pause. You can't quick pitch here. This allows the batter to prepare for the start of the pitch. If the pitcher does not pause after stepping onto the pitcher's plate to simulate taking a signal from the catcher prior to bringing their hands together, it's an illegal pitch. And the result of an illegal pitch is ball.
The result of an illegal pitch is delayed dead ball, which could be a ball.
There you go.
Because they illegally pitched and I hit that over the fence. I don't want a ball, baby. I want all the four bagger.
Perfect. So mechanics-wise,
as the
plate umpire, this is the plate umpire's call, mechanics-wise, when he sees the quick pitch happening, it's a delayed dead ball signal, left arm straight out, hand in a fist like you're holding a roll of quarters, and you say illegal. I'll give you the reference on that in a second. You say illegal. She might stop, depending on the pitcher. If she's savvy, she'll stop, take the ball. Right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to deliver that pitch down there.
Ball's like the best thing that can happen.
Yeah, that's
the
best thing for her, right? But if she doesn't stop and then the batter hits the ball and maybe takes a single, the coach then gets a choice. Do they want the effect of the illegal pitch or do they want the result of the play? Awesome. Okay, so the roll of quarters thing. So when I was delivered to basic training in San Antonio, Texas for the United States Air Force back in 1989, we were told
I was 12
to look straight forward. Thanks, Pete. we were told to look straight forward, make your hands as if you were holding a roll of quarters and put your thumb on the hem of your pants. And so I don't understand. They weren't allowed to say make a fist. They weren't allowed to use the word fist. So they have to describe
in the military.
Yeah.
You guys, you're in the Air Force. You're literally going to drop bombs on people.
Right. So, and this is, I'm telling you, this is 89. So imagine what they can't say, now. Well, maybe with, headset.
Yeah, we're going to say anything political.
Yeah, we don't do politics here. Okay. So what about OHSAA and NFHS rules, Pete?
All games played must be played under NFHS rules. We talked about this a little bit. You don't get to make up your own rules. Even if the coaches agree, it doesn't matter. These are NFHS rules for this contest and in Ohio or whatever your sanction is. Those rules will include not only the NFHS rules, but any OHSAA or your sanctioned rules modifications. Leagues and conferences and schools and umpires aren't permitted to allow deviations, and this includes things like equipment, ball strike count, and all game-ending procedures and forfeits and stuff are in play. You got to do it that way.
That's right. So nobody can just say, hey, today we're just going to play four innings, and then we're going to switch sides.
Yeah.
We're going to switch dugouts and then play another three innings.
Yeah, or we're okay. You know what? This team only has eight. That's fine. We both agreed that that's cool.
Right.
We're going to take it out and it'll be fine. Playground rules or something. Or you know what? We don't have enough players. We're going to do ghost runners today.
Yeah. Or change the run rule.
Yeah.
Right? You can't change the run rule. You can't do any of that stuff. Okay, another point of emphasis for the OHSA is umpire mechanics. So the NFHS Softball Umpires Manual has been expanded in an effort to make it more valuable to all umpires. The use of the new manual will be a great advantage. So OHSAA is incorporating all of the new stuff into their mechanics clinics to support this emphasis. And in particular, OHSAA has learned that this program can benefit both newer umpires and our veteran umpires. Last year, they had an increase in the number of umpires taking advantage of the clinics, and many of those attending were newer umpires. These clinics provide a great supplement to ref prep's classes offered to our newest umpires. So pay attention. Go to clinics. Pay attention to the mechanics.
Yep.
Proper calling position and techniques for plate umpires calling balls and strikes, and the importance of umpires taking their time and not rendering decisions too quickly is important. Of special concern this year is our base umpire mechanics and positioning. We've had some confusion reported concerning base umpires' positioning and proper depth with runners on base.
Yeah, so what that is that base umpires are to be deeper than the infielders and not directly behind an infielder, but away into the side. Sometimes you may hear the term off the fielder used for that. And from the middle infielder, usually shading to the side of the lead runner. There are times that a middle infielder may be playing further over in one direction, and in this case, the umpire may need to move to the opposite side. But what we want is umpires to be deep enough, but not deeper than necessary, allowing the fielders the freedom of movement. And it's important to not be too deep in order that when the ball hits the outfield, umpires can move inside as quickly as possible to cover the multiple bases and have all elements of the play in front of you at all times.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a challenging thing that happens to umpires, base umpires, and specifically when you're U1, two umpire position, or even a three person when you're counter-rotated onto the field, right? Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about two umpire, which is probably what most of us are going to be doing.
99% of what you're going to do, yeah.
So in the two umpire system, we got a runner at first base, and so we've got the U1 is on the field and off the fielder, shading the second baseman person to their left shoulder, right? Closer to first base. Well, second basemen traditionally love to play deep.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they got so much time on the throw.
Yeah, that's right. And so if you get in a situation where the second baseman has backed you into the outfield, as an example, what you should do is just make sure I would move off of her left shoulder, move a little bit closer to first base and come in so that she still has a diagonal to first. If the ball is hit directly to her and she can throw to first, you're not going to get hit with it.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be behind her. Right, because she's already got you pushed into the outfield, so don't let her do that. Move yourself closer to the first baseline and move up again, because you have got to get to a depth of 10 to 12 feet inside that baseline on a ball where you're going to be button hooking, and you don't have a lot of time to do that. Right, 2.6 seconds for varsity players, you know, to get down to first base, and you got to get in there before she does, right? So you really can't let her push you too deep, which is really what it says here. I just went a little beyond giving you a little tip to how you can try to stay out of her way, right? That's why they want you behind them anyway, right? Stay out of their way. Yeah. So you can still do that. You can stay out of her way, but you won't be behind her.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, it mentions depth and everything else, but yeah, I mean, it's, I think the image in your story basically of talking about, because I don't know, I've been plenty of times when I've been forced almost to the grass or it's pushing back that way. And I've had to slide one way or the other to kind of not be pushed so far back. And then you are in front and it feels weird that even if you're even with them, like say you moved up and you're more or less even, that they can see you in their periphery at all seems, or you can see them only in your periphery. That seems weird.
Yep.
But it's what you have to do. Your other alternative is if you went the other way, now they're blocking you pretty strongly from seeing the runner at first base. And now any pick plays, you're in trouble. And it's just bad. Don't let the fielder get you into a bad position.
That's right. You have a job to do as well. Right. So make sure that you're able to do your job and stay out of her way. No doubt you want to stay out of her way. Complicate that a little bit with now you're messing around with the right fielder. Now I'm moving out of the way and now I'm blocking the right fielder's view of the plate. And it's like, oh my goodness. So sometimes, you know, it's second baseman can do that to you. But that's the OHSAA points of emphasis for 2025. Pete, is there anything else?
No, that's it. Pretty quick one this time. You know, it's a little bit of a rehash of some of the NCAA or NFHS ones at like the parent level, but some good points to think of nonetheless.
Next episode, Pete, we're going to be doing OHSAA reminders.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Until next time.